Judge DuPont. Nassau County.
So is Mary.
Mary Bland, it's 3:00.
Yes, it is. So, are we on the record?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm announcing that thanks to Reagan, I have been appointed chair of the internal operating committee, and because I'm laid up after surgery, I thought it best if I asked Dr. Chandler to chair the meeting since he can be there in person for it. And so, with respect, I would ask him to take over, and I'll be available to comment and participate as useful. And perhaps our record with people in the room will be more clearly recorded than if I tried to do the whole thing by phone.
Okay, thanks, Mary. Probably a good decision. First order of business is that I haven't got the notice, so I haven't got an agenda.
We're talking about the internal operating procedures right. That were sent out last Friday.
Okay, that's the only agenda.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, as is often the case, I printed out the things and made notes on them and then left them in the office. But there was another document.
Can we have everyone introduce themselves just so it's clear on the record who's here?
George Candler.
I'm Joe Rogan, Ethics Commission.
Lourdes Barboza, Ethics Office.
Oh, Cherry Pollack, Office of General Counsel.
Kirby Iberdorfer, Ethics Office.
Carlton DeVoe, Ethics Commission.
And are the IOP minutes in here somewhere?
I just made copies, fresh copies for everyone. So you should have the internal operating procedures.
Yeah.
And a copy of the minutes.
And where
it's
are
a
the
one
minutes?
Page.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, and you can have those.
So, it looks like a pretty straightforward list of things, and I did go through earlier and checked off the ones that had been done, but presumably what we're going to do is just go through that list from 1 to 11 and make sure that we're happy with them. Yes? Okay. If I remember correctly, provision number one, the provision one thing changed to quarterly has been done, correct?
Yes, that was a recommended. So all the ones that are on here were discussed and recommended by the Internal Operating Committee meeting committee at its last meeting in May of 2017. So that these that you have in front of you, the procedures you have in front of you, reflect their recommendations, but they haven't been adopted by the commission.
Okay. So all we need is a motion to adopt.
Right. We want everyone to look at them with fresh eyes, since nobody on here was actually on that committee at the time.
So we do want to go through them one at a time and just make sure everybody's happy with them?
They didn't take a vote, so I don't think they ever formally recommended these to the commission.
No, we did
not. That's probably the next step.
Yeah.
So we do want to go through them one at a time and make sure we're happy with them. Okay. Number two, amending provision 3.
Oh, I actually, on that number one, there was something else as I was reading back through them today. It's in line 2, to be held quarterly in City Hall or other appropriate buildings, maybe, with an S. I thought was more grammatically correct.
I think it works either way, and
okay.
It saves the edit. Provision 3, wavering, relating to waiver of IOPs. And I think the language is a little different. Yeah, it's got if allowable by law now. Do we want to change it to if allowable by the Jacksonville Ordinance Code?
I believe the language was supposed to be broader if allowable by law, because you wouldn't want to make any changes inconsistent with state law either.
So
that's my recollection.
The second one, amend provision 3 relating to waiver of IOPs to add if allowable by law. Okay. Are we, somebody keeping track of this, so?
Lourdes is.
If you, okay. Number 3, globally replaced references to ethics coordinator. Had a quick look, looks like that was the case. Number 4, amend provision 4 relating to attendance. Give notice and all that, if I remember correctly, that was, reads consistent with that.
And I had something else on number 4. that appeared to be a redundancy. It's the second sentence and the last paragraph. This will not be counted as an absence. Appears to be redundant of the clause right before that. So I would recommend removing that.
Where is this?
So. Where it says participation, last paragraph, participation in meetings, and then the last part of that clause, and such attendance shall not be will not be considered an absence, period. And then it says this will not be counted as an absence.
Okay.
So I just would strike that second sentence.
Indeed, this will not be counted as an absence.
Mm-hmm. And then capitalize the H.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. And then I thought maybe adding such participation, because it doesn't really clarify what participation would not be considered, but
this is still
that's
number four.
Stylistic. Yes.
However, is this the however?
Yes.
Sentence?
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to add what?
Such before participation. Cause
okay. Such participation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, sounds like legalese.
It does. And so I'm happy to leave it out.
No,
I just,
that's fine. I mean, this is a legal document. All right, so yeah, we need five, provision five relating to election of officers, replace, yeah.
And I have something for five as well. The first paragraph, this was not discussed in the last meeting, committee meeting, because this had not been an issue yet, but for the last 2 years, in October 2017 and 2018, the elections of the officers have taken place at that time, and therefore there's had to be a waiver of this particular provision. So to avoid that in the future, I had some recommended language for this paragraph, the first one, that would say the Ethics Commission shall elect a chair and vice chair, I would add, each year, comma, no later than. And then that prohibits...
No November, December.
Yeah.
Meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then that allows you to do it earlier if you want to. And then you don't have to worry about waiving rules.
No objections. Number six. Amendment.
Can I suggest on that one? Do you
sure.
mind if I
yeah.
add something there? The maybe just to be precise here, we should say the term shall begin on January 1st.
Okay, yeah.
In January just won't, makes you think maybe the commission could set it for some date in January.
Perfect. And the other thing that I had in that paragraph, the third paragraph where it says a member must have served as a member of the commission for at least 6 months, seemed to be disjointed and out of order. And so I was going to recommend moving that as to the second paragraph. So then the following two paragraphs would both be about the nominating committee.
Is this still section four attendance you're referring to?
No, this is under five.
Okay.
For the election right. of officers.
So are you saying move it up to the first paragraph?
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It just seemed to be interrupting two different paragraphs about the nominating committee, and it didn't make sense to me.
So we're good with that one? Number six, amend provision six relating to members resigning.
Can we go
from
back
office?
To five, election
yes.
of officers in the last paragraph, the criteria? So I was wondering about the members' contributions to the Ethics Commission. It seemed a bit broad, or whether or not, what type of contributions? Is it drafting complaint procedures, or is it speaking to the public? What type of contributions are we talking about? And I'm just wondering, isn't it enough that attendance and contributions and committee meetings serving as chairs?
Well, maybe I could contribute, as given that I, maybe I'm just being too modest, but I think I'm maybe the least effective member of the commission have been for much of my time here. And A, if my schedule freed up to where I felt that I was able to, you know, take on a substantial obligation, I don't think that we should hold that against, you know, such a person. And B, if somebody was that, just wasn't seen as having demonstrated competence enough that they would be allowed to take on some major obligation, they shouldn't be on the commission anyway. So I think we can just get rid of the
yeah,
language.
I agree. I think it goes without saying.
At the last meeting, they added it because they wanted it to be have some type of objective standard to it, and they wanted somebody's work on the commission to be part of that qualification. I think it could be any of those things. I don't know that you necessarily have to define what it is, but that was the discussion, as I recall it, at the last
yeah,
meeting.
Yeah, I agree with that, Dr. Candler, and I don't recall the discussion, but I think that it goes without saying that if someone is not contributing, I don't think that they would even want to be nominated.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
Am I being naive about it?
They could decline the nomination.
I mean, if they've never attended meetings or never, you think that they would still want to serve as a vice chair or chair? We've had that in the past, someone who's done that?
I'm just saying that I was not entirely sure about that, but they felt that to take away the subjectivity and to make it more clear as to what would be considered, that was the reason for it.
Okay.
Well, they're not here anymore, so if there's a change in perspective, we can certainly do so. But
absolutely,
Kirby, if you'd prefer the current language,
I don't have a strong preference either way. I was just trying to give some context for why it was added in.
Okay.
Why it was a recommendation.
I don't really.
Well,
I think the others are part of the contributions, but there could be something else. Somebody's ability to wax eloquent to the council, perhaps on our behalf, something like that might figure in.
So we can drop that suggested language?
Would you drop the whole sentence, or are you just saying just that last?
Oh, just that last phrase, and the members' contributions to the Ethics Commission.
Okay, that is certainly the vaguest of the lot.
So we'd move the and before record.
Mm-hmm.
Oops.
Jerry, was that a whoops?
No, that was me.
Okay.
That was
I made my strikeout a little too long.
Seven, and then provision seven relating to appointment of members to replace reference time.
Before we move on to the appointment of members, there was a notation in number six, last paragraph, add in language regarding censure or removal of Ethics Commission members. And Carla wanted me to relay that this was something that the members felt strongly about developing, but it's probably something best for an additional meeting because it's going to raise a lot of due process concerns.
I don't have that.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
yes.
Where are you? You said six? Censure? Where is that?
Right here.
Oh, seven.
Oh, I see.
It's under
yes.
Seven. I thought you said six.
That.
Okay.
No, that's six.
Oh, sure it is. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay.
I thought I remembered from... Okay, so you're talking about the censure thing, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
And what was the comment?
That...
I was trying to find it, sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. The comment was that there was something that the members at the time felt was important to include based on some things that had happened with some commission members and some council members. They wanted some clarity on it, but Carla didn't think it was anything to address in this meeting, that it needs to be a subject to be addressed by the committee at a subsequent meeting to make sure that all due process concerns are addressed, that it was just a meatier topic than could be covered today.
Yeah, I'd agree it's a meatier topic than the three of us should discuss or make a decision on. So would we want to take that up in the whole commission?
Yeah, you could, or you could leave it at the committee level, whatever you want. I just wanted to address the notation that was in there.
Okay.
I thought I recalled on that prior paragraph, Councilmember Dennis making a comment about the specific qualification or something. There was a specific moment in the process of qualifying to run that he said he thought would be a good.
Yes, and that's why we added in the clarification to that second paragraph under number six,
mm-hmm.
where it says any commission member who files the required documentation and declares candidacy, because it used to be qualification, and I believe what Councilmember Dennis was saying is, no,
it's
actually you're a candidate.
Road,
yeah, that's
really.
Exactly right. You're a candidate far before that.
So if they don't file all the required documentation, but they declare, then they don't have to rely?
Apparently.
What did it say before? Oh, who files to be, I see.
Yeah. And it wasn't clear what filing meant, whether that was actual filing or the qualifying.
Couldn't it be files or declares? I mean, the point here is to prevent sitting commission members from campaigning, right?
Right.
That's
right.
If they declare before the qualification period, they should resign. And if they file but don't declare, they should resign.
Yeah, right. I'm not familiar enough with election law and the requirements for, in fact, I didn't even realize filing and qualifying were two separate things. So I'm not sure if you can declare without actually filing. I know you can't raise money and open and do all that to open your campaign account until you file. That's about as much as I know, but or is fine, because you're right. The whole point is...
I don't think declare is actually a term of art. I think declare is just saying, I declare. So I could declare to run for mayor after Mayor Curry's second term if he wins.
Right.
And that would be a declaration now. And I mean, I'm not saying that's the answer.
I get it. Yeah, or is fine. Yeah.
Two files required documentation.
Okay. Yeah. So again, on the add-in language regarding censure, we're going to okay. So we're going to recommend this document to the full commission, and then we can address the add-in language thing.
That's certainly one option. Yes, or you can wait to recommend this to the full commission if you wanted that language to be part of it. It's up to you all.
If we wanted to work on this either today or presumably at the next meeting.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Preferences on that.
I think we should bring it to them so that they see what has been done and let them know what needs to be done before the final document. I think there's a lot of work that's gone into this.
Yeah.
And then we don't need to let it sit for two more years.
That's a very good point. Okay, so that'll be the problem, perhaps the one thing that we haven't resolved. Mary, are you have you got on the
table? I'm following this, and what I'd like to do is take that last sentence out of Roman numeral 6 and basically have that on our next agenda item. But if we're so inclined to approve the rest of the document as we've been going through it, go ahead and do as much as we can today. And when we bring it to the full commission, let them know that there is this one item that we may bring forward at a later point. But in the interest of consummating the work that started in 2017 or before, we're bringing everything else up now.
I think that's a great suggestion.
Because he thought it was a different meeting.
yeah, agreed.
I agree. Okay.
So we're on 7. Cherry, do you have something to say?
No, okay. She was.
And then provision 7 relating to appointment of members to place of reference to the National Internal Operations Committee in the first paragraph of the Ethics Office. Place, I think those have been done. Committee discussed background checks for commission members, and then paragraph 3 to the criteria of the reappointment. Eliminate deadline related nominations. And those have all been done.
And I have something for paragraph 2 under number 8, under number 7.
Mm-hmm.
Third line down, the nominating committee shall oversee a broad solicitation for its applications and resumes. It's not application resume. So it should be an S. We actually solicit for applications and resumes.
Okay.
And this isn't how we've always handled this, right? I mean, the vice chair, for example, got to the end of her term, and rather than do a broad solicitation, the commission just reappointed her.
Yes, because she wanted to serve. So this one says where they're not eligible or they don't want to serve.
I see. Okay. You're only talking about a true vacancy. Well,
that's
either way, it's a true vacancy.
That's right.
Where there's not somebody eligible for reappointment.
That's right. Right. And then in the third paragraph where it says, in the case of reappointment, the 6th line down, it starts with the annual election for chair and vice chair. That seemed to be out of order to me because we're really talking about appointment of members. So I didn't know if you wanted to move that to section 5 where you actually talk about the election of your chair and vice chair.
I'm still not seeing that. You said third paragraph in
section
7?
Yeah, yes, third paragraph, 6th line down, it starts with the annual election.
Okay, there you go.
So I didn't know if you wanted to move that sentence to section 5, which actually talks about the election of officers. It just seemed to be out of place when I read it, but it's not.
I wouldn't object to that. Joe, Clayton, Mary?
So this is Mary Love. I agree. I think it should go up to 5, and I was just checking to see where we would insert it there. Let's see.
Yeah. I don't know that you need it.
Because we've already covered that process for the chair and vice chair.
Right.
And by putting it, you're implying that there's a restriction on...
I agree with that.
And there's not, that I can see a restriction on doing it.
Yeah.
Less is more, as goes...
I agree with that. I think that's excellent.
Joe, Mary?
Yeah, so I'm with you, and I'm imagining now that, in effect, we're going to drop everything that starts with the annual election of the chair and vice chair. Just drop the rest of that.
Well, I'm not sure about that, because the next part talks about appointment of chairs, committee chairs.
Right, and that's to be done in the first quarter. And if we're going to keep that, then it looks to me like we might drop that in right after the term shall begin on January 1st. Now, I think that was a change that Joe discussed a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
We agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm not opposed to dropping any of that, particularly the part about the outgoing chair requesting appointments or requesting people's preferences for their committee assignments. That doesn't typically happen.
I don't think it's ever happened.
Yeah.
It's not in the past few years.
No. So it's not current practice, for sure. The one that talks about the outgoing chair.
Right. It's the oncoming.
Right.
Yeah, that's
what
I've seen it in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Kirby, and Mary, are you recommending taking out the outgoing commission chair sentence, but moving the incoming commission chair, moving that to the paragraph?
Yes, sir. I think that's where I am.
Yeah. That works for me.
And then the annual election part's just going to be stricken. So the annual election, the outgoing chair, both of those sentences are stricken.
Yes.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Is that cleanup number 7? This is to 8, and then provision 8 relating to the deadline for filing the annual report.
So, the recommendation that I have, so they changed it to quarter as opposed to the meeting in January, because that doesn't always happen. And it's actually not due to council until June, the end of June, June 30th. But the way that this reads is that the chair files it, and that's not the practice. What really happens is that the ECHO office files it after consulting with the chair. So I didn't know if you wanted to write in consultation with or approval by or leave it how it is. I don't have a strong preference. I just wanted to let you all know how it's usually done.
Yeah. Does this come from an ordinance?
Yes, it does now.
And does it say that the chair... shall file?
No.
What does it actually say?
It says the board and commission shall file.
I think our language ought to be consistent with what our ordinance says.
Right.
I'm double checking that.
The ordinance, like we did in the previous spot up here. Looks like we did it in 4.
Okay.
Like, I don't know how to use a cell phone to search for stuff, but it boggles my mind that you can just pull your phone out and go, well, I'll check the ordinance.
We'll see how well I can do it on my phone. It's not as easy as sitting at my desk.
Your phone looks like mine, the iPhone 4 or something like that, and fairly small screen. That's Roman numeral 4, Mary. It's very, very old.
Yeah, right. I'm with you. You're right. Roman numeral 4.
Yeah, it's the board and commission. It says, in addition to the requirements in Chapter 58, all boards and commissions described in above shall submit an annual report to the council. So it's the board and commission.
Okay, and then you were also saying that we typically do it a little later than the first quarter of the calendar year because it's not due until the end of the second quarter. Did I hear that right?
What I was saying is the reason that the original language switched from the meeting in January to the first quarter was because sometimes it is done a little bit later since it's not due until the end of the second quarter. So the language quarter of the calendar, the first quarter of the calendar year is fine.
Okay.
I was just given background for why that changed initially.
Right, and that doesn't put too much pressure on staff?
No, no. In fact, the one for last year, the draft form is done, and I'm just going back through some of the minutes to make sure I captured all the important activities, so it'll be sent out this week.
Oh, well, we'll be blessed to have Kirby around for a long time then, I hope. That'd be good. Yeah, okay, well.
She's making an ambiguous face just to.
No, I smiled. I appreciate your kind words and vote of confidence.
That's great.
But we'll make sure to make that language consistent with the other one where we, in accordance with the code.
Mm-hmm. Item 8. And number 9, ideas for amendments to the press policy.
I think those were just discussed at the last meeting, but there wasn't any recommendation or change to the language made.
It was discussed at the last meeting of the internal operating
mm-hmm.
procedures? Mm-hmm. So that's the currently, that's the 2010 language apparently.
Yes.
So when we take this to the full council or the full commission, do we just say we're unsure about this?
Yeah.
For input?
You certainly can, or you can say this has been the long-standing policy and nobody seems to have any changes. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like that's what we've been doing.
I will say it's worked well.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm happy with that. Everybody else?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah, as long as it's clear here that we're talking about the chair of the commission, not the chair of any subcommittee.
Okay.
But I think we're saying that. I'm just thinking it through.
Yeah, that might be a good addition to... Chair of the commission.
Got it.
Yeah, that probably doesn't hurt. It may seem a little redundant to say commission three times or four times, but that's a place where it may make sense to be really clear.
I'd agree with that.
Number 10, amend provision 11 relating to the ethics commission standing committees to provide the chair with discretion to appoint ad hoc committees. With that language. Works. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I mention just a couple things?
Yep.
If you're done with that, Mr. Vice Chair, Dr. Vice Chair. The first on, and this is going back a little bit, but on number one, I think our practice has just been essentially the chair sets the time of the meeting. It says here these meetings shall be at such times as determined by the commission.
Mm-hmm.
I just wouldn't want anybody to say that we have to take a vote on meeting times or something like that. So I think I would just substitute ethics commission with chair, which is consistent with the next sentence, which says that the chair can cancel meetings. Or
yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I agree.
And then two things that came up from other committees in the past few months that I just wanted to raise with this committee. One came out of the complaints committee, which discussed place committee discussed in a public meeting how to relay what that committee is doing, which tends to be very busy, to the commission so that the commission and members of the public who attend know what's going on. And what that committee had discussed was talking about the aggregate data as part of the complaints committee's report. So when they report to the full commission, when the complaints committee chair reports to the full commission, they won't reveal any information that's confidential under Florida statutes, but would just say, we've resolved 4 complaints since the last time we've met, or we haven't resolved any complaints, or something to that effect. And they shouldn't reveal the number of pending complaints or any of that kind of data, but I think it would be appropriate for them to say something like, we've resolved 4 complaints, you know, 2 of them were found to not state a ethics violation, and 2 of them we dismissed for lack of public interest in prosecution or something like that. And the question for this committee is, do we want to put those in the internal operating procedures or just leave that for the chair to request of the committee chairs.
And that raises a really excellent point that was discussed at the last meeting of the committee, which was in terms of the committees, do you want to just basically bare bones list them and let them develop their own procedures with input from the chair of what they want at each meeting? Or do you want to lay it out more formally in there what their charges and what their duties are, like the True Commission did, and their actual internal procedures? And that's just a matter of policy. And to add to what Joe was just saying, in the Ethics Commission annual report, there is a part in there that talks about the number of complaints that were disposed of each year and the basis of those disposals each year, and then how many are pending and why, generally, not without revealing any confidential information.
Yeah, I prefer that. I'm not sure if there's a confidentiality reason why we wouldn't want to indicate how many complaints there are. That sort of thing can always be interpreted two ways. One
right.
means that we're more rigorous, or means that there's there are more problems.
Sure.
Right.
So do you think that process of the complaints chair reporting should go in here, or should that be a more informal thing?
I'm not a big fan of micromanagement, detailing.
You could leave it to the chair. I didn't mean to suggest, I hope I didn't, that there was any right answer to that question.
Yeah.
I just wanted to raise it.
Our compliance committee, and I don't mean to compare healthcare to government by any stretch, but our compliance committee, just it's referred to in the bylaws as a standing committee, and says that it'll address all compliance and ethics issues that arise. They give a quarterly report to the board that includes the quantitative data that you talked about. So many calls were received on the hotline, so many complaints were filed, so many complaints were dealt with, we have this many pending. In some situations where they do have a timeline where they think it can be resolved, we provide that information. But it all retains a confidentiality of the process, because the board doesn't really need that information.
Now, do the bylaws require that quantitative report, or do they just say?
They say that they'll provide it. The only thing that's required is a compliance work plan annually, and that's required under the applicable federal statutes too. So it just says that they'll provide reporting as deemed appropriate by the compliance officer.
This is Section 8 we're talking about adding more.
It would be, I believe, the last section, Section 11, standing committees, where you could delve into.
Or it could go into 2 for the agenda, because what we're talking about here is the agenda for full commission meetings. Right? Could go in either.
Would it come under 8 for annual summary, and that subcommittees will file reports to the chair of the whole committee to add into that?
I think here it's just part of when we do the committee reports at the beginning of a full commission meeting.
Okay.
And so I think it could go in either 2 or 11 are probably the most natural fits if we were going to add something, or you could leave it to the chair to request that report.
Yeah.
If I may chime in briefly, I sort of like the idea of putting something in Roman numeral 11 that just says reports from, we're already doing, thinking out loud, these standing committees are already producing minutes of their meetings where appropriate. So maybe we could just say something like, in addition to minutes, these standing committees provide status reports on ongoing activities from time to time. Trying to get at what Joe's point is without making it too, micro detailed, as Dr. Kingham pointed out. We're getting minutes, and what we're talking about is data reports from only one particular committee.
That's true, and you are generally should be getting reports from the committees at your Ethics Commission meetings, because that's always
on
part
the
of the
agenda.
That's true. Yeah,
so what if you just
agenda has a report from every committee?
Right.
What if you add to the end of 10? And sometimes these meetings we have to meet about things quickly, and so I don't think you want to add too many mandatory agenda items to the full commission meetings. But something to the effect of, unless waived by the chair or the commission, the chair of the complaints committee shall report quantitative data about pending and disposed complaints at the beginning of each regular meeting of the commission.
Okay, so that does that then become an agenda item, or do you
Are you asking where it would go in the procedures or how this would fit into the meetings?
Yes, I guess I am, because if we're putting it in the procedures, I don't know.
Sorry, Joe, which paragraph did you want to add it to?
I said either in Roman numeral 2 or 11, just taking a shot, I guess, 11. But
I think that makes
I think 2
sense.
Is fine as well.
Yeah, but so you're singling out the complaints committee for this extra item. So maybe it does go in agenda. If it's only that standing committee is going to be affected by the direction.
Either way, and I think the reason for that separate handling is that the complaints committee largely operates in the shade. For all the other committees, you could just go to the meetings or go online and listen to the audio or read the minutes. But if the complaints committee doesn't tell the commission what they're doing, then you don't know what they're doing.
I get that distinction.
Yeah, I do too, of course.
And I think 2 may be the appropriate place if we're going to, with that purpose, and if it's going to be a pretty regular agenda item.
To add a 2C?
Does that make sense if you haven't even mentioned the complaints committee yet in your procedures?
I
mean, we look at the procedure document as a whole.
Okay.
I don't worry too much about that. I suppose if you wanted to, you could put standing committee way up near the top. But I'm okay with a 2C, with a Roman numeral 2C.
Okay. Joe, do you mind?
Or even,
restating your language so we can get it correctly.
I
have, unless waived by chair of the commission, I got that far.
Well, I was saying or, but...
Oh, the chair or the commission?
Right.
Okay, got it.
So unless waived by the chair or the commission, the chair of the... Or put the complaints committee chair so that it's not confusing.
How about just the complaints committee? Because it might be not the chair if that person's absent.
Sure. The complaints committee shall report quantitative... comma, non-confidential data about pending and disposed matters at the beginning of each regular meeting of the commission.
This is a new 2C?
Correct.
How about... Because they don't usually report actually at the beginning of the meeting. You do the pledge and ethics thought and
chapter
reports.
How about just at each regular
meeting? Okay.
Because then it can be wherever the chair puts it.
That
would be annoying if you want to let a speaker go first and you say, well, now we have to take a 2/3 vote to waive the internal operating procedures.
Right. Okay. So I have, unless waived by the, for 2C, unless waived by the chair or the commission, the complaints committee shall report quantifiable, comma, non-confidential data about pending and disclosed matters at each regular meeting of the commission. Does that sound right?
Fine to me.
Okay. Just making sure we're capturing it. Mary Bland, as we were talking, I wanted to kind of go back to that one point where you're talking about the appointment of committee members. I think that makes more sense to put it in 11 as opposed to 5 with the election of the officers. Because it relates to the committees. No, I'm talking about under 7, the last sentence, the incoming chair shall make committee appointments during the first quarter.
Yeah.
And putting that under 11 as opposed to 5.
What if we change that last sentence on 11 to the incoming chair may appoint ad hoc? Never mind. You're right. We need to... be consistent, do we instead say, add that sentence at the end of 11 to say,
you could just say the chair. Yeah.
Shall make committee appointments.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, that was just.
Yes.
Now that sentence, that last sentence of 5, and just come back into last sentence of Roman numeral 11.
Yes. Okay.
Last sentence of 7?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she mm-hmm. had moved it to 5 already.
Okay, so,
yeah.
So now it's 5.
Yes.
I was just behind.
No, no, I appreciate it. Yes, that'd be great. I think that makes great sense.
The only other thing I wanted to raise that came up really from talking with Ms. Miller ahead of the last Ethics Commission meeting was what I said to everybody about the public comment.
Mm.
And we may want to just have a policy so that you don't have commission chairs and committee chairs kind of, you know, I hope I made an informed judgment, but I really just made it up. And
we typed it up.
Oh, really?
It's right here. Next to Dr. Candler.
Dr. Candler has a copy.
That's awesome. What is
it? And I think that that's great. It's hopefully what you said at the last meeting.
Really?
Yes. So I need to read it out.
I have a copy here.
During Ethics Commission meetings, public comment will be allowed prior to final votes on substantive matters. Additional public comment will be offered at the end of every Ethics Commission meeting. The time of each public comment will be announced by the chair. Committee chairs will allow general public comment at the end of each committee meeting. The time allowed for these comments shall be determined by the chair. Public comment is not mandatory prior to each vote at the committee level.
I like it.
And we're proposing to put that in where?
Well, I didn't even know that that was a thing. So, but I guess it could just be.
You can make it 2D.
12. Oh, sure.
Because it's usually an agenda item.
Great idea.
Maybe a point of clarification for me, when we get some of the comments that are, you know, just kind of factually mm-hmm. wrong, if in 10 seconds I can respond and say, you know, as a matter of fact, that's just not right, blah, 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 I think that's a good thing. On the other hand, I can see that we don't want the meetings to degenerate into, well, then the speaker, you know, responds and... So how do we feel about, A, whether informally that's okay, or B, whether we should make it a formal policy?
I remember Ioana, at one point, we got pretty heavily into that back and forth, and then she said that basically she would be the one to respond to people. And I didn't think that was a bad idea, because sometimes the issue is that they're getting informal advice or thoughts, that they're asking, what can I do about this, or was this a problem, or did my council member violate the ethics code by telling me this or by being mean to me? And then they're asking for sort of an informal opinion. And our procedures and the ordinance code has ways they can ask for ethics opinions. They can ask for advisory opinions.
This is the public.
Right. And so I shy away from, I think, turning public comment into a back and forth. I mean, last time Mr. Nooney had comments and he showed up 20 minutes early, I was there 20 minutes early, and we talked for 20 minutes. And, you know, I think that's probably the better way to resolve things.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I think I'd like to see if somebody has a question like that that's easily addressable. I think Kirby and Carly usually do say, talk to me after and we'll talk about that. But, you know, both for their benefit and for ours, we just don't want to get into a...
Yeah, point taken. And then,
yeah.
You know, this is my government background, where I get very frustrated in that. If you look at the data even produced by conservative think tanks, the United States is one of the best governed societies in the history of our species. And yet there's this level of public distrust that's just extraordinary. And but yeah, you know, afterwards to just say, you know, actually it's not quite that simple and so on and so forth. I'll take that point.
Yeah.
Best done informally.
Ourselves through our staff informally available, and I think
Should that go in the policy, or should that just be a?
I don't know how we make that.
Mm-mm.
No.
The current policy.
Yeah.
The chair responds formally and then informally. Those of us who want to informally engage some of the people who care enough to turn up to the meetings, we can do that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are we done with everything we need to do?
Just a clarification that we're going to do a 2D public comment policy, and we're going to adopt the language that you read. Yes? Okay.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
So the only thing left to do is if you want to take a recommendation to the commission at its next meeting, you would need a formal vote to adopt the changes we've discussed.
Somebody would like to move to propose that we take this to the...
Actually, your chair, so you
can't
make
a visiting member.
All right, girl.
Okay, so I'll make a motion that we accept changes as proposed.
Seconded, Mary?
Yeah, if I'm allowed. I know I'm attending by phone, but if I can do that, I'm happy to.
Yes, you can. You can all. You can do that, and you can also vote.
Okay.
Great.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
You're in favor, Mary?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Have nobody opposed. So moved. We're done.
Yes, and the only other thing that I did was, as I was going back through the minutes of the meetings last year, I was making notes of the various things the committees either talked about or had recommended working on for the next year. So here's what came up for the internal operations. From our strategic meeting last March 2018, Mr. Ryback, who was the chair at that time, recommended the following activities and projects for this committee. So this is in case you want to do this. Update the Ethics Commission strategic plan every 3 years, and that has not been done since, I think, 2015. Update the committee's individual strategic plans at the beginning of each year by having the committee create a list of 2 to 3 things to accomplish during the year. Update the annual planning calendar that the Ethics Commission has, and revise the internal operating procedures, which you've done. So I just, for your committee work, to consider what you might want to handle this year.
You can forward that to us?
Yes.
Did you guys vote on the minutes?
Those were already approved at the last commission meeting. They were just for informational purposes only.
Oh, okay.
Part of that.
Part of the barrage.
The book.
Right.
The minutes approved the palooza.
That's right. Those were the oldest.
It was a good Robert's Rules exercise.
Yeah. That's
Welcome
right.
to the commission.
That's
Let's
right.
go through a bunch of parliamentary
That's exactly
procedure.
Right.
Okay, meeting adjourned, I take it?
Yes, sir. Unless anybody has any other business.
Thanks,
Mary. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Hope to see you soon.
Absolutely.
Thank you.